say, walking down on the street, somebody just random, what it means to be a Christian, you're probably going to get some varied answers, especially if that person is pretty far outside the faith. You might have some people tell you that it means to believe in Jesus, and certainly that's true, but what does that mean? They might not be able to tell you what that means. I think more and more, you would have people that would tell you that to be a Christian means to live a certain way, to act a certain way, to abide by certain principles in life, to take Jesus and use him as an example for life. And of course, that also is true. And actually, that's the way that Islam and the Hindu faith both view Jesus as an example. He was a good prophet, but that's it. You follow this guy and you live your life accordingly. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about what it means to live as a Christian, and as we dive into this, we of course remember all the stuff that Paul has talked about to this point, and throughout from Romans 6 to here, Paul has talked about both what it means to live as a Christian and what Christ has done for us. So Paul starts out, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You and I, as Christians, are called to live a certain way." And to live a certain way means also then not to live a certain way. Here, Paul urges you and I and the church as a whole and as a collective to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And this is what Jesus was for us, right? When we think of a sacrifice, we think of Jesus. And Jesus, in here, Paul also says to not think too highly of yourself. And when we contemplate that, we think about thinking of others before we think about ourselves, doing for others before we do for ourselves. And this is what Jesus did. He thought of others before he ever thought of himself. In fact, in Philippians, it talks about how Jesus emptied himself, gave up, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, even though he is the Son of God himself. He emptied himself of all right and privilege as the Son of God in order to serve others. This is our example. This is how we are to live. To be a Christian means to follow Jesus, and we're supposed to follow closely. You are called to not be conformed to this world, to live differently. This morning, we'll be praying for the people in Texas as they undergo this terrific hurricane and tropical storm and all this rain that's coming down. I saw a picture of of one of the interstates heading out of Texas. It was like a 5-lane, 6-lane interstate on both sides, north and southbound. And the northbound lane had, or the northbound side had 6 lanes of solid cars going north, getting out of there. There was luggage on top of cars. It was bumper to bumper. Who knows how fast they were going? Everybody was going north. But on the southbound lane, there was one car, one person going against the flow. In all those 6 lanes, there is one car just driving south. When I think of this, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, it means to be that southbound car. not all the cars going north. Because this world has a lot of people going the same direction, going according to the mold, the pattern of this world. Christ calls us to not be conformed to that pattern. The world will tell you that you are free and welcome to enjoy and do whatever the world you want. Whatever that might mean for you in sexual expression or lifestyle, or whatever path you might want to walk, whatever desire you might have, as long as it doesn't hurt others and it makes you happy, go ahead and do it. That is the mold, the pattern of this world. To pursue power, to pursue wealth, to pursue right and privilege. Only the strong survive. That is the pattern of this world. The world has a way where it focuses inward on itself, but you are not to fit that mold because you are a Christian, because you follow Christ. You are to fit His mold. And His looks a lot different from the world. You are to be holy and set apart. This is what Paul tells us. Set apart from the world. You are to be acceptable and well-pleasing to God. In other words, when God looks at you, He's supposed to be pleased with how you are living. This means that you know and you understand the will of God, that you know what is good according to His Word. That you know and do what pleases Him. But there is a problem. And this is the problem that Islam runs into. It's the problem that Hinduism runs into. It's a problem that much of our secular world runs into, that even though they look at Jesus and they can see the pattern, they can see the principles, they can see how a person is supposed to live and to be giving and sacrificial of oneself. But when we see Christ as only our example, then we cannot be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but sacrifices usually aren't living. Sacrifices are a brutal and kind of a grotesque and violent affair. You try and place a living cow or a living bull or a lamb or a bird on an altar, and it's just going to scamper away. I'd like to try to see you get a bull up on an altar, actually. That'd be kind of enjoyable to watch. I'll watch from a distance, but it's not going to work, is it? There's blood spilt. Death is involved in sacrifices. Meat is consumed. They are violent. You are called to be a living sacrifice. Because Christ was your blood sacrifice. His blood was spilled, his whole life sacrificed, killed, destroyed for you on the cross. Jesus has shown you this amazing grace, and you have received it. You believe it. You welcome it. You take it as something God has done for you. And that's what separates you from the rest of this world. Christ has forgiven your sins. He is the one who has renewed your mind. He is the one who has transformed you, metamorphosized you out of the conformity of this world. He's given you new life. And here is the key for this week, that in this, He has given each and every one of you in this church, the body of Christ, a role to play. in being a living sacrifice. And in your role, he has given you gifts accordingly, things to do for the benefit of others. This is how you are a living sacrifice, by going out and doing things for the world. This is your spiritual act of worship. Your worship as a living sacrifice doesn't take place from 9 to 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And when the schedule changes, it doesn't take place from 10:45 to 11:45 on Sunday morning. Your spiritual act of worship takes place from, well, let's just go by September 10th's schedule. Your spiritual act of worship takes place from 11:46 Sunday morning all the way around the clock to 10:44 Sunday morning. That is when you give. That is when you are a benefit to others. And when you come back to church on that Sunday morning, that's your time to receive what God has for you. That is your spiritual act of worship. God has given us each different gifts to fulfill within this body of Christ, within this living sacrifice that we find ourselves a part of. Gifts to help fulfill these different roles at different times. And here Paul lists a few of these gifts. To some he has given the gift of prophecy, and for most of us that's a scary word to hear. We think of somebody that's out on the street preaching and foretelling the future. That's not necessarily the key here. The gift of prophecy is the one who takes the word of God and he applies it, or she applies it, to another person's life in their situation, explaining the word of God and how it fits another person's situation. That's prophecy. To some, he has given the gift of ministering. That's not ministering the way that I'm doing right now. It's service to others. That's being a nurse. That's being a CNA. It's being a mother. It's being a father. It's being a caregiver. It's going out and helping somebody change a flat tire. It's serving others. To some, he has given the gift of teaching, and I'm just going to say that there are some in this congregation who have that gift who aren't sharing it during Sunday school. We need you to share your gift. To some, he has given the gift of exhortation, that is encouragement, that's going and just telling somebody it's going to be okay. That's going up to a friend and just praying for them, a neighbor. That's going out having coffee with somebody who's going through a hard time. That's a gift. To some, he has given the gift of generosity and giving, and some of us have more to give than others, and there's a reason for that. To others, there has been given the gift of leadership, and to others, compassion. Whatever gift you have been given it by God to use as a member of the body of Christ, as a living sacrifice for others. There's something really cool about this passage and about these gifts and about God's grace, and it's unfortunate that you need to know biblical Greek in order to know these things sometimes, but I'm going to share it with you. In this passage, the Greek word for grace is the word charis. Charis. It's spelled C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. I think it's where we get the name Karen. I think the name Karen probably means grace or graceful, that something like that. The word for charis, or for grace, is charis. This is grace as the grace that Jesus has given you. The grace that gives you the forgiveness of sins. The grace that gives you eternal life. This is charis. Something remarkable about the gifts that God has blessed you with, to bless others with, is that word for gifts comes from the word for grace. It is charisma. The gifts you have, whether it's teaching or ministering, serving, leading, compassion, using God's word to encourage others, to pray, whatever it is, it is a gift intended to bring the grace of Jesus Christ to another person. God desires to use you to bring people to Jesus. Whether it's that cup of coffee, that prayer over the phone, teaching Sunday school, ministering, visiting your friends, visiting the shut-ins. God desires His grace to come to others through your gifts. And so we end this morning with a word that was probably spoken over you in your baptism. It at least has been while I've been here doing baptisms. And it's a word that comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's very fitting here. And so, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen.